To the Mavericks, to Jalen Brunson, it just appears inevitable at this point, with free agency starting tomorrow, that Brunson is on his way out. The player that Mavs GM Nico Harrison called the top priority heading into the offseason, and yet it looks like the allure of the family element in New York, his father Rick now on the coaching staff under Tom Thibodeau, Leon Rose, the president, basically his uncle. By the way, Jalen Brunson's agent is Leon Rose's son. But more than anything, the allure of being the man in New York, the primary ball handler, he's never going to be that here in Dallas with Luka, obviously. And it appears it's going to be a four-year contract for Brunson with the Knicks worth about $110 million. For what it's worth, you know, you think of, well, are the Mavs just lowballing him? Now, I don't think any dollar figure outside the max, which the Mavs were not going to offer, that could have been 5 years, $175 million. You're not giving Jalen Brunson the max. We all understand that. The offer, from what the reports are, I've seen Tim McMahon from ESPN report it, $22 million per in the Fred Van Vliet range. So basically 5 years, $110 million. Yes, less per year than the Knicks deal, but I don't view this as the Mavs lowballing Jalen Brunson. That's a healthy, healthy raise. The question now moving forward is, what do the Mavs do? Can they recoup anything, Sean, in terms of a sign and trade? That appears to be out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. I heard the Hardline talk about it yesterday. Yeah, Bob said it. I would love a piece like Cam Reddish still on his way up to come back. If you can just recoup anything in return for Jalen Brunson heading out the door. But now the test is with the Mavericks. Can they be nimble enough? They have been nimble here over the past year. Can they be nimble enough to find somebody to compliment Luka the way Jalen Brunson did?
I don't know. I think ball handling is, once you got Dinwiddie in the trade, then you had three ball handlers. I think that really opened up a lot of things offensively for Dallas and the Jason Kidd system. So some might go, well, look, you can just bring in Goran Dragic on a minimum deal. And you can absolutely do that. But he's like 35 now, 36. And not to say he doesn't have anything left, but you're just bringing him in to be a backup point guard, which is maybe all you need. I just feel like the leadership and the intangibles and just the chemistry that was already forged with Jalen Brunson is the pain that a lot of Mavericks fans are feeling right now. And, you know, Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd were on a heater for the first year of being the power structure in Dallas. And for them to publicly state that Jalen Brunson was their top priority and to miss, that brings up a lot of old feelings from past offseasons where the Mavericks have missed out on their best priorities in free agency or what have you. So I think that brings in a lot of old doubt, but I don't think we should have to just say, oh man, Nico Harrison's, this is his first big failure, because we just don't know how this is going to play out.
Right.
I want Jalen Brunson to continue to rise and be good in this league. If he could get to the all-star level like the guy you mentioned, Fred Van Vliet, that would be great for him. Now, will that make the Knicks a title contender? Probably not, but it'll make them a lot more respectable than they have been. And again, New York, they're going to have to fill some other holes too, because they're having to clear out a lot of space just to get the cap room to sign Jalen Brunson. They moved Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks to the Pistons yesterday. That freed up another $19 million. That was, like, I guess their last big hurdle to jump before they could completely clear all the space they needed for Brunson. So, man, if you look at Knicks Twitter is not thrilled by this.
We're paying who?
That's
what they're saying.
And I think once he starts playing, they'll go, okay, this guy's pretty good. This guy's a winner. All the things that we've seen him as a Maverick, but he's not KD. He's not Lillard. He's not that big-time player that can maybe take a franchise to absolutely the next level. Although the Knicks being a non-playoff team, maybe the next level is just playoffs, and I think Brunson can do that.
Which is where they were the year before last.
Right.
And in the East, they could very well make that jump. Bottom half of the playoff picture, who knows, with Jalen Brunson, whatever moves they happen to make. But again, with the Mavericks' perspective, there's that feeling of regret, I would think. This could have been avoided. You could have offered him the extremely reasonable four-year, $55 million deal that you eventually gave to Dorian Finney-Smith. Didn't do it before last season. At that point, I get it. You saw what Brunson was or was not in the postseason against the Clippers. And again, was that more Rick Carlisle? Was that Jalen Brunson? Okay, fine.
I think we have a pretty formed opinion on that question.
Absolutely. Brunson balls out early last season. By January, Jalen Brunson's dad, acting on his behalf, goes to the Mavericks and says, okay, we're interested. And the Mavericks didn't want to do that deal because they thought, well, maybe Brunson can be a piece in a deal for a star that becomes available at the deadline. That didn't happen. Right after the deadline, the offer is made. And at that point, Jalen Brunson and his camp, no thanks.
Yeah.
I'll bet on myself.
We didn't want to be a trade ship.
Nope.
So.
Nope. Thank you very much. Dorian Finney-Smith was offered that same deal.
And honestly, there's nothing
accepted.
Wrong. That's the thing Mavericks fans got to realize. Jalen Brunson has done nothing wrong here. Because to a man, we would all be doing probably what he's doing, unless there's something about Dallas that he absolutely loved and didn't want to leave. But this is a guy that's entering the prime of his career and prime of his life. He's got ties up there to New York. And I just feel like that this makes a lot of sense for Jalen Brunson, even though it frustrates the hell out of Maverick fans.
He's still on his way up. You know, the comparison was made earlier this week in Brad Townsend's column in the Dallas Morning News. Does this have shades of Steve Nash? I don't see Jalen Brunson becoming a two-time MVP in New York. I don't see him becoming even an all-star. I mentioned it earlier in the show. Could he, as the primary playmaker in New York and with a higher usage rate, could he become somebody like C.J. McCollum? You know, that borderline, you know, former most improved player. No, he's never made an all-star team, but a really seriously good player. His time in Portland, now in New Orleans. Could Brunson be that? Yes, absolutely. And you're going to, as Mavericks fans, you are going to see next year, Jalen Brunson is going to drop performances like he did in the playoffs against Utah, and you're going to feel that twinge. He could have been here at that number that I mentioned earlier, but listen, the offseason really is just beginning.
Yeah.
Let's give the Mavericks front office, based on what they've done over the last year, whether it's shedding the KP contract, whether it's the Bullock deal, which looks so savvy now, even just a year in, whether it's the Christian Wood trade. We haven't seen Wood play a single game in a Mavericks uniform, but what you gave up, essentially nothing of significance, to acquire Christian Wood. They'll have something up their sleeve, hope. It can't just be Goran Dragic.
And it might just be role players that doesn't really like get the fan base all riled up. But at the same time, you know, I don't think – and look, he wasn't good to start the year. But I think that Reggie Bullock was, at the end of the season, essential to what the Mavericks were at both ends of the court.
He couldn't come off the floor.
Right. So I would think that the powers that be are targeting guys like that. At least that's the hope.
Right. And you hear the rumors out there, Gary Payton II, you know.
Sure.
You talk about defense in the backcourt, a solid three-point shooter as well with Golden State when he was on the floor. Just in terms of the pieces already on the team, okay, assuming not much is added to this formula, Spencer Dinwiddie takes on a bigger role. Yes, he's not the efficient player that Brunson is. Can he be a bit more consistent? And then you got to get something out of Tim Hardaway Jr. Can he recapture his form?
Yeah, that's the thing that I think a lot of people forget, because he was pretty much gone from February on with a foot injury, and he was just sort of an afterthought when you would see him on the bench. But is Tim Hardaway Jr. a perfect player for this system? I don't know that. I wish he would create a little bit more. But when he's right, when he's hot, he can knock down threes. And you have a guy that's going to find guys open for threes in Luka, and presumably Goran Dragic will be able to do the same thing, and Spencer Dinwiddie also to will put out a similar output there. So, look, I don't think the Mavericks are – losing Jalen Brunson doesn't alter the way they're going to operate their system. They're just going to have to go elsewhere to find those worker bees that are going to support a transcendent player in Luka. And let's also remember – Luka's going to take another step forward. Like, he's not a finished product. We got about two or three more years of Luka continuing to transform as an elite-level player. And, you know, I hate to lose a winner in Brunson, but at the same time, your franchise is still in a very good state. And now, not having to pay him crazy money like $30 million a year, you now have flexibility moving forward when the other guys go off the books next year to add that other superstar that comes down the pike.
Right, and everyone is already talking about the 23 free agency class that is stacked at the moment. You know, you talk about worker bees, Sean, you talk about role players, and yes, the Mavericks certainly need to be looking at adding another 3-and-D type player. You can't just play Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith every minute of the game.
It's not
like
the playoffs,
they
right?
had to in the postseason. Right. How about a big name? How about a controversial name? Again, this is just going back and forth, but I saw this clip on social media on the Low Post podcast. Zach Lowe was talking with Bobby Marks, longtime front office, was the Nets GM. They're talking about Kyrie Irving to the Mavericks in a potential trade. Irving just opted in with the Nets, $36.5 million. And I believe it was Marks who threw out, well, you know, what about Dorian Finney-Smith and Tim Hardaway for Kyrie? And I think we both agree there, no way.
No.
No, I'm not doing that. And Zach Lowe called him out on it. It's like, I don't know if it would take that much. What about just the haul that the Mavericks got for Porzingis, Dinwiddie, and Bertans for Kyrie? The Nets might take that. Again, who knows? They're speculating.
But if they do that, then you piss off KD, because I think that's the other element to any Nets side is what's Kevin Durant going to – how's he going to react to this?
Again, who knows how viable this really is, but it's fun to talk about that Kyrie scenario again. Yes, Kyrie had the Mavericks on his list of potential sign-and-trade teams. That didn't come to pass. But would you be on board with that? As much as we love to dunk on him like we did yesterday when he opted in, I'd be for it at that particular price.
I would like
I'd love to see that.
I would like to see that in an alternate universe and be able to spectate it and just see how that would
just not for real.
Out. Just not for real. No, I don't.
What
want,
he does in the room.
Look, I don't want Kyrie filling Luka's head with anything, even if it was just for a season. I don't want that. I don't want that element here. I think what Jason Kidd has done is forged a good room, and I think Kyrie could. At least has the track record of ripping that apart or just being off the reservation. And this thing got to a Western Conference Finals last year, and then by and large, Luka drug that roster there. I mean, obviously guys helped out along the way, but Luka did that. And I think Luka can carry this team even further if they have the right mix. And I'm not saying chemistry is the be-all, end-all, but it sure as hell got them pretty far this year, and I don't want to see them disrupt that. I want to see them add to that.
Yeah, and again, I think you need just a bit more star power, and maybe it's not Kyrie. I don't know. Maybe that is trusting after one season Jason Kidd just a bit too much. I think that could work. I understand. Maybe people are pounding their dash that are you crazy? Are you as crazy as Kyrie seems to
points.
Be at times?
There's no question he put up points.
I don't know. I feel again. It's pure speculation. It's June, right? The free agency period begins on Thursday. We have no idea how it's going to play out. But I think we have to understand, with Brunson on his way out, listen, the Mavs front office, they are not just going to say, well, wash their hands. Well, that's too bad. Jalen, hate to see you go. Okay, well, this is our team. No, it's going to continue. If you had flipped the Brunson exit with the Christian Wood trade, okay, the pain of Brunson leaving... Mm. All right, they're rebounding here. Mm-hmm. Christian Wood, that's a nice piece for the trade they give. Instead, they struck early with the Christian Wood deal.
Well, they did, and I think a lot of the optimism with the Christian Wood deal was also tied to the idea that Jalen Brunson was probably going to be back. I think for the past week, things have shifted in the public's mind, because I think everybody was like, nah, 90-95% JB will be back here. That completely changed over the course of pretty much this week, and I think the addition of Christian Wood doesn't look as appealing to Mavericks fans, knowing you lost another leader and point guard on your team, but you still have a really good one.
Yeah.
Now, the question is what if Luka deals with an injury? Who are you going to lean on then? That's where the Goran Dragic thing gives me a little bit of fear, because I don't think Goran Dragic at this point in his life and career is able to handle a team for like a couple weeks or a month. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Again.
But again, all this is predicated on Luka's health. So
sure, sure. And you would have full faith in Brunson doing that. I laughed at this. A buddy of mine texted me, Boban is upset. You said the Mavs gave up nothing of significance for Christian Wood. I love Bobby.
They gave up a marketable player, that's for sure.
We all love Boban. You understand what I'm saying. Okay.
What else NBA-wise other than just this the shock of, I mean, I don't want to shock, or the having to digest the news of Jalen Brunson, or are you looking forward to as far as free agency goes? Is there another big swing that's going to be taken that's that you're sort of anticipating at this point?
I honestly don't have one that comes to mind.
It feels like everything's already kind of settled because you assume
the age of the NBA. You find these things out days before it actually happens. It's not like, okay, what's going to happen? Yeah, Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, here we go.
The only bombshell I think would actually be a Kyrie sign and trade. I think Bradley Beal's tied into the Wizards. That feels like that's going to happen. And you know the Lakers can't move Westbrook. after
right.
opting
no.
in,
yeah, no
after, after our show yesterday, he opts in for $47.1 million. But I'm sure there's going to be twists and turns along the way, and I'm glad it's tomorrow, because then Friday we're going to be able to digest everything that happens, because it's going to be a bonanza. It always is, like right before the 5 p.m. and then
sure.
pretty much hours afterwards, it's just going to be a cavalcade of news.
Back to Bobby Marks just for a second as we wrap things up. I really appreciate his insight into cap situations. Again, a guy who had to manage the cap during his time in NBA. Front office land. He said last night there has to be a price point for Dallas to walk away from Jalen Brunson. Signing him to a $30 million contract would have cost the Mavericks a total of $130 million in salary and the luxury tax in one season for Brunson alone.
And I don't think Cuban's terribly concerned about the luxury tax, but when you have that number, I think that's when you start to go, okay, we have to look past this next season. We have to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road, which is I want my front office doing all the time.
This is the process, right? You're going to grieve it just a little bit. It hurts if you're a Mavericks fan. You appreciate what Jalen Brunson has become after being drafted in the second round of the same draft as Luka. But you're going to understand, even as he pops up with, you know, those 30-point 10 assist games occasionally, with the Knicks next season, who knows, maybe he becomes an MVP. I don't see how that happens.
You know what I think it could be, real quick? I think, remember when Devin Harris was traded for Jason Kidd, and Devin Harris lit it up for the Nets, and it was like an all-star the next season?
Right.
That could happen.
Yeah, it could.
But in the end, did that really hurt that much?
No, and eventually...
Devin came back.
Right. Eventually, Sean, you're going to realize maybe it's not so right to give Jalen Brunson that much of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, again, assuming you can make the moves to recover, which I believe in this front office, just based on a year, you give them the benefit of the doubt that they can move on.
Yeah, this isn't Donnie Nelson. This isn't Rick Carlisle. This is a destination because you have a superstar in Luka and now a player's coach in right. Jason Kidd. And I just think Dallas is so appealing. And like, that's not even mentioning the Nike executive and all the tentacles that Nico Harrison has throughout the sport. It's a different thing now. And yes, this hurts. And does it feel like a strike? Okay, sure. But you're down 0-1 in the count heading into free agency. You can still have a good at bat. You can still even hit a home run.
Yeah.
Who knows? But honestly, Dallas probably just needs to get on base or hit a double, and I think that would help this team exponentially after losing Jalen Brunson.
You need more. Yes, you would love, you know, Christian Wood is not a true rim protector. Yes, you would love something in the middle that you can use as a piece to help defend the rim. Obviously, like we mentioned, wing pieces to complement Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith, another 3-and-D type. You would love another a playmaker in the mold of Brunson. What piece is that? It might very well be a name like, were you really all that excited about Reggie Bullock last season? Going in, you knew the numbers, you knew what he could become, and you saw it play out in the latter half of the season and certainly in the playoffs.
But I mean, I think we're not talking about it a lot. I don't think he's going to come here, but DeAndre Ayton might be on his way out in Phoenix. I mean, he's a restricted,
right?
But still, look, if Cuban's willing to go in the luxury tax, wouldn't you? I mean, I've seen enough of DeAndre Ayton to go, okay, that can play. Now you have Christian Wood as a backup big. Now we're talking. I think that's going to happen like the Kyrie thing? Not
no,
at all.
I know. But, again, as a restricted free agent, yes, I would love DeAndre Ayton. I don't see that happening.
But the Suns don't value him, so maybe you can dream a little bit. Who knows?
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.